sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add sweet, sweet one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave.
Dean Martin there, crooning away. Memories Are Made of This is the name of that song. And there's no doubt, as many of us will attest, speaking of memories, that growing up 40 or 50 years ago was a far different experience to what it's like today. And author Frank Prem has captured beautifully the mood of that bygone era in his new book. It's called Small Town Boy, and it's all about life as a kid in Beechworth in the 1960s and 70s. And I spoke to Frank about the book yesterday, and you're going to get to hear some verse as well, by the way. And he started off by telling me how he came to live, and he still does, actually, in this wonderful little part of northeast Victoria.
Yes, Matt, mine was a migrant family that came over to Australia in 1957. They originally were from what is now Croatia, old Yugoslavia, and migrated to Australia via Germany, where they spent a year living and acclimatising, and where I was born. When they came out here, they were a group that flew. Many came on boat, but my family flew out, and we ended up in the Bonegilla migrant camp in late 1957. So I was about 10 months old.
Mm.
And we had a relative that lived in Beechworth, and so within a reasonably short period of time, the whole family left the migrant camp experience and started to live in the small town.
What are your very earliest memories of life in Beechworth? Do you have those little sort of, for me, they're like snapshots of perhaps the first things that you recall?
Yeah, I suspect that I'm loaded with false memories, Matt.
There are
pictures of a very small child on a blanket and a story that surrounds it of myself, though I find it hard to believe, playing in the cupboards and encountering the loose money that had been accumulated and letting it fly in the wind. Strange little snippets like that.
Yeah.
I have a vivid recollection of riding the bike that's on the cover of the book flat out. You know how fast those bikes go when you're small, and missing the corner. I don't know if you know, but Beechworth's got granite gutters.
Yep.
I remember the granite gutter.
I bet you do. No helmets in those days either.
No helmets. And I can tell you that the handlebars bent at the drop of a hat.
Oh, yeah. I guess, and I know myself and for a lot of listeners as well, growing up in the 60s and 70s, and I suppose perhaps some for the 80s as well, but just a time very rich in memories and a time so different from the world we grow up in today, that kids grow up in today.
Yeah, when I think back, what strikes me is the freedom that we had. And I think it was the same, different but in a sense the same for city children. We were not supervised really in any great way. In my case, my parents worked in the institution in town, and they worked 12-hour days. And that meant that a child was free, had to be free. And in my case, I roamed the Beechworth Gorge with my dog. We would walk to school without supervision. And I really note that loss of freedom. You know, when I came to tell my own children when they were small about my exploits as a child, they would look at me as though I was telling myths and legends or downright porky pies.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the only way to make them real was to actually write them down,
yeah,
you know, pin them down on paper, because if it's written, it must be true.
Yeah,
but the freedom was extraordinary when I look around now.
When it came to writing that, do we call them poems or verses or recollections? How do you term it?
Yeah, they're poems. It's free verse poetry, and that's pretty much exclusively what I write. But they're also stories. I'm a storyteller, but what I really want to do is communicate to you or to anyone else listening or reading a story. I want people to be able, if they're listening to me, to be able to close their eyes and come on a a one-minute journey.
Well, let's do that now. You're going to read out a couple of little excerpts from the book, aren't you, Frank? And
yeah.
I think the first one relates to, is it a first love?
It's the story of a boy and a bike and a girl that lives a long way away and what a young person will do when the idea strikes them.
Okay. Is there a name for this?
This is called Sweet Maureen.
Take it away.
I rode my bike for Sweet Maureen from Beechworth to Yackandanda, 14 miles of love smit pedalling down the hill of the rising sun. A million miles an hour, not fast enough, but my breath was taken away. I was drawn down the road, descending like a bullet from the barrel of my rifle. I was drawn to ride to Sweet Maureen.
Ah, you painted lovely. So how long did the bike ride take, Frank?
Going there, very quick. coming back, it might have been a day and a half.
I'm just wondering how long on the bike compared to time with Sweet Maureen.
I don't think I had long at the other end before having to come back. It's a lot of work, but again, the point is that if you had the idea, you just did it.
Mm. Now you've got another little offering, which I believe is to do with one of my favourite childhood memories. You'd say of Mum's cooking, and sounds like your mum was a good cook too.
She was. She was. The women in the family were excellent cooks.
Mm.
But as a young fellow, I think I was less appreciative than I might have been, less appreciative than I perhaps am now. So this is You Know Mum's Cooking, and I hope people can hear a young fellow's voice in this.
We'll take it away.
Okay. You know how sometimes your mum can be really over the top with cooking traditional food in the way that she learnt to do it back home, and most of the time it's sort of okay, or you really don't notice because it's just there all the time, and sometimes it's really good and you can feel clever about it because the other kids' mums don't know how to cook that good stuff. But sometimes it's that rotten spicy mince wrapped up in cabbage leaves or stuffed into capsicum and drowned in some kind of red stewy sauce. You know, sarma and satarash. Well, I hate them.
That's the end of the poem, is it?
That's the end
of the verse. Oh, very good. Well, it sounds like there's some wonderful verses reminiscing about all sorts of things, from hunting rabbits to crackers on bonfire night. Am I right?
And, yeah.
People will have to have a look at the book to get the full story on the cracker box, but I gather it involves the deputy schoolmaster's mailbox. Is that right?
Only every year, Matt. Only every year.
Frank, look, it's been great to have a chat to you. Just a little taste of Small Town Kid, the book, a series of free verse poems that you've written, recalling life growing up in Beechworth in the 60s and 70s and what a different world it was. Now, people want to get hold of the book, Frank Prem, what should they do?
Can I just tell you before we finish?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yesterday, I had the great thrill of being told through the wonderful world of the web that the first paperback copy had actually landed in a mailbox in America. And I was
wonderful.
Just delighted.
Yeah.
Just delighted. There are three store outlets. One is Dimmock's in Albury, Edgar's in Wangaratta, and the News Express in Beechworth has copies of the book. Otherwise, online, both ebook and paperback are purchasable through all the major providers of these things, Amazon and Barnes and Noble and the like. If somebody types in my name or Small Town Kid, there'll be about a zillion references come up, and it's pretty easy to find.
And that name is Frank Prem, P-R-E-M, and the book is called Small Town Kid, about growing up in Beechworth. Frank, it's been great to chat to you, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you, Matt. My pleasure.